This morning's layoff news may be less than surprising, but that doesn't make it any less painful.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. The last time claims for unemployment benefits were higher than now was post-Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. This morning, the Labor Department reports the number of newly laid off workers surged past the 400,000 mark last week to 406,000. That's an increase of 34,000. More unsettling numbers from Ford. The number two automaker lost $8.6 billion in the second quarter of the year, mainly writing down the value of all those gas-guzzling trucks and SUVs that now sit unsold. Company executives are reassuring financial analysts they're confident they have the cash needed to ride out this rough road. Never mind energy prices or the economy, Southwest Airlines says it was still flying high through its 69th straight profitable quarter. It looks like Southwest will be the only big U.S. carrier to have made money in the first half of the year. And the twist here is fuel costs are actually a big reason for its success, as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch explains.
More than any other airline, Southwest locked in the price it pays for jet fuel months ahead of time. This strategy of hedging has been an insurance policy against the run-up in crude oil prices. In 10 years, Southwest has saved $3.5 billion due to these fuel hedges. That's equal to about 83% of the company's profits over the same period.
They were lucky. Nobody can call the future that well, that consistently, and be correct. Hedging is a very dangerous business.
That's airline consultant Daryl Jenkins.
Going into next year and the year after that, the hedging is going to become even more risky. Because right now, none of us have any idea where the price of jet fuel is going to be.
Southwest hasn't made a significant hedging bet in 15 months, but the airline says its current hedging contracts give it time to find other sources of revenue in this new world of expensive fuel. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
By the way, there's good news on oil prices this morning. They're now the lowest they've been in almost 2 months, down to $123 a barrel. Lately, even a little good news like that might have been enough to get the stock market going again, but the high anxiety seems to be outweighing the recent high hoping on Wall Street. The Dow is down 46 points, 0.4%. The NASDAQ and the S&P both down around 0.1%. European markets also down. Food regulators from the European Union are raising concerns this morning about the safety of cloned animal products. The European Food Safety Agency says the question needs further clarification. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London. Good morning.
Hello, Bob.
So I take it that they aren't identifying any particular problem here as much as they're saying they just don't have enough information to know for sure.
That's right. But they're saying their main concern is animal health and welfare. For clones and their surrogate mothers, there are considerable health and welfare problems.
Well, here in the U.S., the Food and Drug Administration has already given its backing to meat and milk products from cloned cattle, pigs, goats. Is this going to get in the way of this possible business direction?
Well, here in Europe, producers are saying, and the British and German governments are saying, cloned animals are good, it will increase milk yields, it will produce leaner and more tender meat. I think what the producers are facing is the very squeamish and fussy European consumers. I mean, after all, European consumers haven't accepted genetically modified crops, let alone a cloned ham sandwich. But the EU says they're going to put this to the test and hold an EU-wide public opinion survey in September.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Bob.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement and by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
Check out some of the adjectives the Federal Reserve is using now to describe economic conditions in some parts of the country. Its latest regional roundup paints things as either morose or just plain grim, with the country facing increasing inflationary pressures amid slowing economic growth. Even so, our own economics editor Chris Farrell still isn't convinced we need to worry so much. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So we have been hearing this, it seems like forever now. Slow economic growth, maybe even a recession, and rising prices. Sounds like stagflation to me, but do you think that this is all overblown?
Oh, I think the fear of stagflation is way overblown. The slow economy? I'm not going to argue about that with you. And in fact, I'm in the camp that says we're in a recession. But when it comes to inflation, there's no big worry.
Okay, now wait a minute. We had Coke announcing price increases come Labor Day. Sarah Lee
and I know
says,
that upset you. That well, upset you a lot.
Sarah Lee says it's going to be raising prices on some meat items by 20%. Kraft, Kellogg's, ConAgra, Tyson's, they're all pushing through price increases. How can you say no inflation?
Well, all the examples that you've given have to do with food. But you take out food and energy, and you still come down to inflation's running about a 2.4% annual rate.
Life is a little difficult to live when you take out food and energy.
But it is still remarkable, Bob. Service sector inflation is slowing. It's a service sector economy. And what I say is happening is that budgets are being nicked by higher prices for energy and food, and so they're spending less, and business can't raise prices.
Okay, the more important question, it seems to me, though, is that we know historically that these things can snowball really fast. And
yeah,
if we've got these price increases being announced and the mentality is out there, what happens down the road?
There is a concern about inflation psychology. If people really start to believe that prices are going to go up, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why the Fed keeps talking about it. But again, I still come back to, when we had inflation in the 1970s, we had a wage price spiral. Where are the unions demanding a 5, 6, 10% wage increase? You don't hear them. It's a slowing economy. It's global competition. And it is shrinking household budgets are all conspiring to keep inflationary pressures down.
Okay, Chris. So I guess as long as we got nothing to spend, we got nothing to worry about.
Well, we may have a lot to worry about, but we don't have to worry about a price spiral.
Chris Farrell, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. You can hear replays of any of our programs at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.